Thanks for subscribing to the Calvary Chapel Melbourne podcast. It's our hope and prayer that God will use this message to draw you closer to Jesus. Don't forget to sync your device regularly to get the latest podcasts from Calvary Chapel Melbourne. For more information, log on to calvaryccm.com.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks for being here. We've joined our campus in Sebastian, our campus in Vieira as well. And those of you online, if you do not have a Bible, just raise your hand right now. We are in Acts chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 3. Just a couple words for you. Next weekend, we're going to take a break. Actually, the next two weekends in the book of Acts, we'll catch up when we are in January. But I'm going to do something very different next week. We are going to, the title of what I'm going to teach is simply this: Lessons Learned from the Travels of Baby Jesus. Amazing things you'll see. By the way, his first travel was from heaven to here. And then you'll see him go to Bethlehem. You'll see him go to Egypt. You'll see him come back to Israel, go back up to Bethlehem. And we'll learn lots of different things from the life of Jesus. So that's next weekend. And just encourage you, if you're around, if you're not going anywhere, just come and join us on that weekend. Now, here's the opening statement today to see what you think of this. What comes to your mind when you read, expect the unexpected? Now, I want to ask you a question here and on our other campuses. Anybody have something happen in your life this week that you didn't expect? There goes 5 million hands right there. It's just the way life is, isn't it? It's just crazy. Now, all of us have experienced it. Let me give you a few things that I wrote. Wife to husband. Honey, I'm pregnant. How many remember that one? Come on. Okay. That's not it, though. That's not it. And by the way, honey, we're having twins. That's a little unexpected. Here's one I love. I wrote it yesterday. Doctor to patient. I don't understand, but the scan says no cancer. Amen. Those of you that are younger, got college kids, and an 18-year-old. Mom, Dad, I just got a letter in the mail. I have a 4-year all-paid scholarship to college. There you go. The people doing that are not the older people. That's the younger ones saying, okay, praise God. I love this one even more than any. An 80-year-old father to his 45-year-old son. Son, I've decided to become a Christian. Thank you for praying for me all those years. Yes. You see, when we see that, we never expect that. So I just want you to turn to your neighbor and say this morning. Expect the unexpected. Come on. Expect the unexpected. Exactly. Now, we finished chapter 2 last week, and you remember we talked about the first church in the Bible in the New Testament. And we gave you 6 building blocks that go with the church, how Jesus designed it. He's not only the one that created it, he's the one that directs it today. And through that, I left one verse out, but I left it out for a purpose. Here it is in Acts chapter 2, 43. I have it on the overhead for you. Then we'll be right into chapter 3. Everyone was filled with awe. It's talking about in the early church. Remember, we had more than 3,000 people. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now remember, Luke wrote the Bible of Luke, of course, and he wrote the book of Acts. Now Luke was not just Luke. Luke was Dr. Luke. 2,000 years ago, he was a physician. And what he writes is here is there was many supernatural things happening in the church, healings, all kinds of things. But he doesn't give us any kind of details of these many supernatural miracles. But what we study as we begin in a moment, chapter 3, you're going to see an amazing miracle with all the details that ends with results that none of us could have ever expected, neither did anybody in the story that is a true story today. Now, remember one day when Jesus came to this earth, we'll be celebrating that in about a week. He came, but he didn't want to do life alone. When he was 30 years old, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He had already been born of the Spirit. And right after that, it wasn't long, he chose 12 disciples to do life with him. Here's how he said it. Look at Mark 1, 17. Vieira, Sebastian, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what he was talking about there is in a spiritual realm. I will lead you and show you how to win people. That's basically seek and save the lost. That's our whole reason for being here, getting people to become Christ followers. And when Jesus called his disciples to follow him, as they did that, it wasn't long before they realized, well, we have no idea what to expect following Jesus. What's that going to look like? They never had done it before. Well, soon they discovered that the life was filled with adventure, all these unlimited opportunities, and a lifestyle following Jesus was simply this. Every day they'd get up and expect the unexpected because they didn't know what in the world Jesus would do. As they followed Jesus, they saw Jesus work in the supernatural. Remember, every day was different. Healing people, casting out demons, all kinds of other miracles. But then Jesus said to them, well, you've been following me for about 3 years, but he told them something totally unexpected. Remember when Jesus was with them in the upper room, he said, in a little while, I'm going to leave you. And I'm going to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. That's why I came. And then I'm going to be resurrected. Then I'm going to heaven. But I'm not going to leave you alone. But I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit to come and live in you, the third person of the Trinity. And then basically, as he was saying that, he says, you are going to do the same kind of miracles I did while I was on the earth. You will see all kinds of changed lives. Well, that shocked them. They didn't really understand what that meant. How can we do what you did? So take a look at what he said to them in John 14. I have it for you on the overhead. Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, now who would that be today? Every single one of us. Anyone who has faith in me, Jesus, will do what I've been doing. He will do, she will do, even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Wow, that's strange. Greater things? Really? Well, even though Jesus was fully God, remember, he was fully man. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus began ministering for the next 3 years as a man empowered by God. He was a single human being. He had basically a human body, and he was confined to the earth just as a human would be. Geographically, he was limited. There was no planes. There was no boats like we could take somewhere else. He basically lived in Israel for those 3 years. But today, you're going to see, as we move through, that the Spirit-filled life, you and I can do greater things. Now, that challenges you. Remember what he said? Anyone who has faith in me will do greater things. That's all of us. That's every single one of us. Well, here's the key. When he was like that, what did Jesus mean by greater? Now, the greatest thing you and I can think about in a physical realm is one thing, raising somebody from the dead. Did Jesus do that? Of course he did it. We see in the Old Testament, we see some of the apostles doing that. But let me give you the three reasons it's greater. Here's how to explain it. It's very simple. I have it on the overhead. You can write it down. Number one, we today, the disciples then, could do greater in number. In other words, there'd be greater changed lives, a number of those. The early church ministered to many more people than Jesus ever ministered to. Just think of this. Jesus was ministering for 3 years. He went around Israel, and he always had people. We don't know how many. But what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached for the very first time? How many people came to Christ? 3,000 in one sermon. Jesus never saw that in his whole life. Second, let me give you a name. Billy Graham. How many did Billy Graham lead to the Lord? Millions of people. Jesus never saw that. Now, that doesn't make Jesus less. Remember, he's a man, but he was empowered. But when you see that, we see more changed lives today than Jesus ever saw. Number two, greater in distance. Greater in distance. You know, we can go anywhere, basically, since the Holy Spirit is in either of us. Every single one of us has the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how many have been in 20 more different countries in your life? How many have been in 20, at least 20 different countries in your life? You all live in MIMS, or what's the deal? Really? Come on now. Linda and I think, have been in like almost 60 different countries because we've been always ministering and doing those things. MIMS is not our home base, praise God. Now, I'm just joking. But I want to tell you something. Some of you people don't know this, but I want you to think about the missionaries that are here. Now, greater in distance. Where did Jesus go in distance? He really never left Israel except one time as a baby. And then one time as an adult, he went a little north. We'll talk about that next week when he went to Egypt. But he was a baby then. So think about the missionaries we support today. We have missionaries in India, Germany, Mexico, Ukraine, Haiti, and Peru. Wow. All over the place. So greater. Just that's why more people would come. Greater. They can reach more people. Jesus never left Israel. All over. That's why Linda and I have gone to many, many, many countries. Preaching the gospel, sharing those kind of things. Number three, greater in time. Jesus only ministered 3 years. Now I ask you another question. How many of you have been saved more than 25 years? Let me see your hand. Okay. How about 50 years? If you can raise it, like me. 50 years. Okay. Now, when you see that, think of how many people you've interacted with in 25 years. Jesus had three. So you can see that God was saying through Jesus to his disciples, you're going to do greater things. They lived a lot longer than Jesus did as far as ministry. These guys ministered many years. Jesus, three. You and I, sometimes, maybe even more than that. As you know, as a Christian, I've been a Christian, you know, I'm 76 years old. I've been a Christian 71 years. Of course, I didn't do much when I was a baby. I just stayed under mom's piano as she played in the church. But eventually, God used me. So when you look at that, this is what's happened. We're able to share the good news with so many more people in so many ways with the time and where we are and all of those kind of things. Now we begin Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, we know from the scripture that Jewish people prayed on a regular basis, 3 times a day, 9 in the morning, noon, and then 3 p.m. Now, the temple for these new believers was no longer the place where they would go for them, these Christians, where they would offer sacrifices of animals and so forth at special holidays. That wasn't there, but it did offer them a perfect place to go to for prayer, and that was done on a daily basis. Now, even though Peter and John were spirit-filled, they were still aware of their need of prayer. Some people misunderstanding when you're filled by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, you just kind of go along, you don't need prayer anymore. No, not at all. Prayer is essential in our life. Here's why. They continued that prayer because they needed to have a conversation with God. See, prayer isn't just about you praying to God. Prayer means that God wants to hear from you. He wants a two-way conversation. And that's how we keep that intimacy in our relationship. Now, God blesses and uses people that pray. Can you believe that? Do you believe it? Coming in January, remember what we have. We have prayer culture, 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. That sets the stage for a whole year at our church. So don't forget it when we get there. Now remember, prayer helps us to acknowledge our dependence on God. I'm sure you made prayers this week. God, I need help here. I need something else. Well, that's because we need dependence. God, I don't know what to do here. Well, that's why we pray. We get direction from God. And God, what is your will in that situation? I remind myself very often when I get up early in the morning, God, forget what I want. I want what you want. That's huge from prayer. Now, look at verse 2. As Peter and John are going to prayer at the temple, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. If you go to Israel with us, and we'll announce the Israel trip, it's going to be again in August, the last of August. We'll announce that in January. When you go there, we walk up the southern steps, the actual same southern steps in Jerusalem at the temple. Well, not temple today, but the Temple Mount. When we walk up, those are the very same steps that Jesus walked to, and all the people walked in there to get in there for a time of prayer. Now, as this is happening, remember, Dr. Luke is writing this. Now, in the original Greek, he says it like this, so you can understand it. A description of the man's ankles were that they were out of sockets. His ankles were out of the sockets. It had to be a congenital kind of disease where the ankles actually turned sideways. Now, you know, understand, there's no solution to that. He doesn't have an orthopedic doctor he can go to. He can't have any, there's no exercises. So for 40 years, he never walked. The beggar was helpless and without hope. Every single day, he went, somebody carried him to the opening because lots of people would be going to the temple, and he would beg for money to exist. When he woke up on this morning, the wildest imagination to him could have ever been that at the end of that day, his life would be totally different. You know why? Every single day was the same. No hope, no chance, can't walk, needs money, people have to carry him. Nothing available. Well, in Acts chapter 3, verse 3, when he saw Peter and John, this shouldn't surprise you, about to enter, he asked them for money, alms. That's normal. What else is he going to ask for? He wants some money to exist because there's no other help for him. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said to this man who hadn't walked in 40 years, look at us. Now, Peter and John, guaranteed, had seen this beggar many times because the man had been there for 40 years. And the disciples were walking all the time to the temple three times a day. But this day, this time was going to be different. Even though they're on their way to prayer, Peter doesn't stop and toss in a coin and walk on as you. He just doesn't go, oh, good to see you again, and walks right into prayer. Because something was different that day. Peter knew this was a different day. Why did Peter know, no, I'm not going to give money? Because God had spoke to Peter's spirit earlier that day. Now, don't be weird with that. One of the promises of the Holy Spirit is he will lead us. He will direct us. Now, many people want to say, well, I've never heard the voice of God. Well, you hear it right here. We've had lots of people saved this weekend at our campuses. Did that come from my voice? No, that came from the Spirit's voice, saying it's time to be right with God. So don't think this is like weird. It isn't weird at all. Now, when he says this, you say, well, what do you mean? Here's what I believe. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what the Spirit said, but I know he said something like this. Peter, there's an open door for you and John. This day is going to be different. Now stop and listen to me. And I don't know how he put it, but it would be something like this. I'm going to heal this man and then use that miracle to expand the kingdom of God. Now that's a word of faith that came to Peter. So I've changed this, expect the unexpected. I want you to say this with me this morning. Take a look on the overhead. Let's read it together. All of our campuses, Vieira, Sebastian, here in Melbourne. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Expect God to do the unexpected. See, if you remove from God from that situation, by the way, nothing's going to happen. You and I going to be there in front of that guy? Watch what I do. Afraid not. Only God's able to do the supernatural. So we always have to pray that. Expect God to do the unexpected. And that's what they knew that was going to happen today. Remember, when you see all of that happening, and you see those words, expect, it just means the future. You're looking forward to something you know going to happen. So as Peter and John go to that place, they're going, wow, I don't know what this is going to be, but this is going to be fantastic. Here we go. Now, what was that? They were stopped at this moment from going to the temple. We call that a divine appointment. Here it is. Divine appointments. If you want to be used by God, we must expect to have our plans interrupted by God. See, God knows what's going to happen. So what you see is the key. This is for you and me. Remember, we're going to do more. Expect. Peter was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Well, how do you get that? By having a relationship with your word, the Bible, and you hear the Spirit speak to you. You know what to speak. You talk, you know, many times God will speak to me. And as I began this just this last week, God spoke a couple things to me. No, change that. That's not clear enough for the people. So that's what I'm trying to say. See, you and I need to be open to what God wants to do in our daily lives. You never know what's going to happen in your life. I never know. We need to be reminded God wants to change lives. And who does he use? Us. He uses us. We need to quit living in our own strength and allow God's power to work through us. Can I just show you this? You already know about the invites to Easter. You don't need to hear from the Spirit to hand one of these out. You know it's a thing to do. Most of you who became a Christian, somebody invited you to a church service. Am I right? Or you heard a testimony, something encouraged you. So you say, well, I'm waiting for God to say this, then I'll hand one out. Wrong. You already know what to do. Love the lost. Open your mouth. Now, that means you don't go put it under the door and run. No. You just say, you know, we're having a Christmas Eve service. 2, 4, 6, and 8 different churches, our campuses do it differently. Come on, your kids will love it. We have the kids in with us. Everybody's there. It's just a fantastic thing. And you'll be excited. Christmas is a time to remember Jesus Christ. Am I right? Well, as you leave today, I guess Pastor Mark said I'd take one of these suckers and hand it out. Please don't do that. Oh, I got free? No, you're guilty. We're to love the Lord. Did Jesus love the sinners? He was a friend of sinners. So I have him in my car because I'm going to, once again, go to some people in the neighborhood. One of the good things I've learned, and you're walking early in the morning, take some with you. You never know who the divine appointment's going to be. Somebody across the street, you just hand it to them. So here's what I want you to ask this morning. We need to pray and expect God to use us anytime, any day. Our lives are directed by the Holy Spirit. Here's the next statement. We don't set the divine appointments. We don't determine the miracles. Now, once a year, usually we have a healing service on a Wednesday night. And I teach it in detail. But I want to say these things to you right now. Because it's something that we don't really get it all together. I can say this to you. All these years I've been a Christian. When we come to healing, some things we just don't understand. By the way, do you know that God's ways are not our ways? But in the end, he already has it right. He's got it held together. Now, we don't understand why God heals some and doesn't heal others. My mother died at 41 of breast cancer, pastor's wife. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We don't understand. We don't understand why God basically heals some immediately. Others you have to wait a long time for. Can I ask you this morning to look at this last statement? Let's read it together. We know that God still heals today. Do you know that? How many of you experience in our campuses the healing of God? Let me see your hand. There you go. He still does. Do we understand everything about healing? No. But we trust God. Amen? I can tell you something. You've never heard the story. When we were living in Lincoln Park, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, my dad had me in the car one day. I think I was 6 or 8 years old. I can't remember. And my mom was at home, and my brother was at home. We were driving somewhere, we're going with my dad, and he would go to all kinds of house calls and things like that. So I was going along. I wanted to get rid of my gum. I was sitting in the back seat. Dad was sitting in the front. And I rolled down the window, threw my gum out. The problem was it wasn't the window. It was the door of the car. I fell out on my head in the street. My dad was driving 10 to 15 minutes. He didn't know anybody fell out of the car. There was no way for him to know it. And he's down miles away. And he all of a sudden looks and I'm not there. Panics, come back. Now, how many cars could have run me over? Are you kidding? And he found me, got back to me. He rushed me to the doctor. I fell right on my head in the street. Boom. Now, in those days, you know, you didn't have a lot of MRIs and stuff like that. Just went into the doctor. He looked at it. He says, well, I think you're going to be okay. Now, some of you, yeah, I know what you're thinking. Now we know why he's weird. Don't call your pastor weird. You know what could have happened? Some of you liked this even better than that one. I could have died. You'd have had a better pastor than me, for sure. For sure. Come on, be real. Yeah. Now, why did God save me? So I could aggravate you for years and years and years. No, God had a plan. Was it about me? No, it's never about me. I don't change people's lives. God changes people's lives. See, God still heals today in all kinds of ways. Now, so here's this change that's going to come. And it's amazing. Earlier that morning, I'm sure Peter didn't say to John, John, we haven't heard from God, but this is going to be a great day. We're going to heal somebody out there. I'm sure he never said that. Basically, he knew this. Peter and John had faith in God. They'd watched Jesus. So they remember, they never knew what to expect. What's God going to do today? Who knows? So here's where the excitement in life comes. Look at this. Expecting God to do the unexpected brings excitement to life. See, life should never be boring for a Christian. Of course we have routines, but God wants to do a lot of things. Now look at, then Peter said, look at us, take your attention off your problem and focus it on us. You expect money, but we're going to give you something better than money. Now that man couldn't have imagined what in the world that would be. Well, look at Acts 3:5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting, there's the word, looking forward to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Well, put yourself there 2,000 years ago. What would I have to offer? He had no money. Peter and John had no money. What are they going to offer? They're going to offer him Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. They don't know how that's going to work, but that's what we're going to do it. There's an interesting story. It's an old story from many, many years ago. It's a true story. Not against the Catholics. Just relax. It's a historian reported. His name is Thomas Aquinas. And when he visited the Pope, the Innocent II, and found him counting a large sum of money in the church, ah, Thomas, said the Pope, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none. That is true, your holiness, says Aquinas, but then neither can you now say, arise and walk. What was he trying to say? Money is not the answer to man's problems. God is the answer to man's problems. And see, you have to understand that. What do I have to offer people? I have God. I have his wisdom. When I counsel people, Do I have the answer to them? No, I do not. I have biblical answers, but I need God to direct me, just like you did. So God is a supernatural God, and sometimes we limit him by thinking, eh, that's not going to work. God's never going to work. And you're going to see Peter do this. He's going to step forward and ask and just say to the guy, you're going to be healed. And we have to be careful. We have to be sensitive to listen. Look at this statement. Christ followers don't ever underestimate God's ability to do anything. You can't put God in a box. Again, his ways are not our ways. God's power is greater than our ability. You know that. God's power is greater than Satan's power. He knows how to defeat the enemy, and God's power is essential in the life of every believer. Now, Peter and John didn't have silver or gold, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was operating. It wasn't old. It was fresh in their lives. So here's what I want to say to you, because I know some of you are listening to me, and I mean this very kindly at all of our campuses. Well, Pastor Mark, you're talking about things I could never get involved with. Wrong. Wrong. Look at this statement. If you are a Spirit-filled Christ follower, you have everything necessary to meet people's needs. Because it's not you. Expect God to do the unexpected. It's God. So that comes from faith. That comes from faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. As I'm teaching you this morning, God's faith is stirring you up. Because some of you have a situation in your life. You have a person in your life. You have a healing necessary in your life. You have a salvation person that needs to be, somebody needs to come to the Lord. And guess what God's doing? You're going to start praying for those people different than you were before you walked in. Because we're expecting God to do the unexpected. You got it? Now, when you see that, Peter said, walk, because the Holy Spirit gave him a gift of faith. Now, some of you don't understand it, but I'll explain it to you very simply. Take a look on the overhead. In the Bible, look at me, in the Bible, there are three classes, basically, of gifts of the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, there's three classes. And one of the whole chapters, you can read it, it's in Romans chapter 12, and you read kind of the gifts that God gives. And some of it's called leadership. They're very practical gifts. Then you go over to Ephesians, and there's gifts of ministry. God gives a pastor teacher for the church. But in 1 Corinthians, right here, 12, he gives 9 spiritual gifts. They're in 3 categories. I won't go into all of that today, but let me just read it to you. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Now, if it's a gift, can you work for it? No, it's a gift God gives you. Now, when you see this, these 9 gifts, you don't have a permanent gift. You have that gift for a certain specific thing. Here's what Peter and John are going to do. They don't have that gift every day. They have the gift of faith probably, or it even could have been the gift of healing. That's another one of the gifts that are there. But they didn't carry that with them. It was just God used that for a day. So there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all, the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's not the guy, wow, man, I have the gift of healing. Look at me, baby. Just neat thing. Just call me up. I'm Dr. Mark. Here we are. You do that, you won't have any gift. Glory goes to God, not to us. Now, given to each of us so we can help each other. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. That's what Peter and John have. Great faith. What is that gift? Here it is. The gift of faith. This is the God-given ability to believe God for the impossible in a certain situation. Would you call a man that hasn't walked in an impossible situation? Yeah. So they need either the gift of faith to believe it's going to happen because God said it would, or the gift of healing. Could be combined. It doesn't matter. But that's why they were excited, because they knew what was going to happen. See, there are times that God gives us his supernatural faith. He just puts it in their heart. Peter and John knew something was going to happen that day. So they had to boldly step out in faith and agree with God. That supernatural confidence that comes from God comes from the faith. You know, we would like to be able to say to any person, I can do that right now. I can do that. God, heal that person. I know you're going to do it. Absolutely, I know you're going to do it. No, you need to hear that faith from God. You need to hear that faith word from God. That gives you the ability, the supernatural confidence to do it. Now, look at verse 6 again. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, what does that mean? In that culture, in that day, the name of Jesus meant the power and the authority of the person that is present and available. Here's really what Peter would have said in terms that we would understand. This Jesus of Nazareth raises you up. He is alive, and he's present to heal. I am speaking the words. Now listen, they're saying this to the man. I am speaking the words, but Jesus is the one healing you. That's totally right. Because all glory goes to God. Now, here's a picture. Think about this. It's just a picture. Here's the man, the beggar, 40 years, never walked. He's a 6-year-old boy. Kids are out playing with a stick and a ball. Never played. Gets older. People do things. They go on trips. Can't go. Got no money. Got no legs. So here's Peter and John. Notice people are watching because they knew this guy. Been there for 40 years. Now, if you're Peter and John, are you going to do this in your power? Good luck. Because if you do it in your power, there's nothing going to change in this story. Do you got that? It's God's power. And so what you see there, I think, is a challenge for all of us. Basically, look at verse 7, and I'm going to leave that on the overhead for a moment. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now, would you call that unexpected? Would you call that unexpected for this man, for sure? Now, did Peter expect it? Yes, but he didn't know how he was going to be healed. It was still expected. Instantly. Think about that. He'd never learned to walk. He was born lame. But supernaturally, when you see that, if that those were out of socket, that's too hard for God, really. Who made him? God. Now, you think about feet, that they're out of the socket, and instantly they're right. Now, here's a man. He's going to get up and walk. He's never walked. Now, to get those ankles in the right place, you know, I have a medical background. What about the tendons? What about the muscles? Instantly. Instantly. Everything's perfect. Wow. And you're going to see the response to this. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm not a Christian yet, but I don't believe that. You better believe it, because spiritually, same thing happens to us when we get saved. We're crippled, but God changes us spiritually. That man was healed. Now, when you see that, Peter knew that God was going to do something, but he didn't know it was going to be instantaneous. But when he saw that, that shouldn't surprise any of us as Christians. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what did Jesus do? Oh, my goodness, how many things Jesus did when he healed people. Cast demons out. Remember one time Jesus said, spit in his eye and he healed a blind man. I mean, God's ways are not our ways. He just does it. It's wonderful. How about the Old Testament? Any miracles in the Old Testament by God? You remember these guys, they're walking around Jericho. You got to walk around Jericho every day. Why are you walking around Jericho? Well, God says the walls are going to come down. Yeah, the walls are going to, Here they are. How about Moses to the children of Israel? Well, get ready in the morning. We're going for a swim, but it's not really a swim because the Red Sea is going to open up. Sure, in the morning. Here they are walking through. It's the same God. By the way, it's the same God today. So these people, of course, had studied the Old Testament. They knew all those things were happening in their lives. Now look at verse 8. Then he jumped to his feet. Wow. And began to walk. And then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping. What's the last thing he does? Praises God. The very thing he does right there is what? Praise God. When God does the unexpected, make sure you and I are praising God. It's not about Peter and John. He didn't go, oh, thank you, Peter and John, you're amazing. No, he immediately begins to praising God. Now, when you see this, I want to ask you a question. You see him, and these people are going to see him. He's walking, but he's also what? He's jumping. If you had a person that had never walked, a relative of yours, or a friend of yours, and one day God supernaturally healed him. He said, well, Pastor Mark, you can't jump and walk in church. That's crazy. If I had somebody up here and God just healed him supernaturally, he had never walked, would anybody be around here jumping and praising God? Yeah, would you even sit there? Oh, that's pretty cool. Let me say it in a hard way. If that's your 3-year-old daughter, are you being quiet? No, you're praising God. You're not praising the church. You're not praising the pastor. You're praising God. And we can run all over the place. Now, we're not a running church. Don't think that. Because we will stop you. Now, there's some churches, that's okay. That's their own. That's their way of kind of praising God. It's okay. By the way, my wife was healed a long time ago. I haven't even told this all weekend. Many years ago, of an ovarian cyst. They didn't know what it exactly was. And this is way back early. And they went in, and I'd prayed for it, went to the hospital with her. And the doctor came out and says, I can't find it anywhere. You know what I did? And I worked at the hospital. And what's that director of pharmacy running into the rooms for? Because my wife was healed by God. So the whole key is not the running and jumping. The he is praise God. He's the only one worthy. Amen? That's just the way it is. Now, when you see this happening, think about this. We need to expect God to do the unexpected in our lives. This is not just a story in the past. This should be for us. Currently, my wife and I are praying for a certain situation of friends that we have. That's what we're praying. See, I started with expect the unexpected, but I changed it to we need to expect God to do the unexpected. And we're praying in faith that that will absolutely happen. Now, what we learn from this story is personal. Why should you and I, thousands of years later, different circumstances, expect God to do the unexpected in our lives and through our prayers? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Now, here's another reason we have to do this. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work, notice, it's very personal, within us, every Christian, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask, here's the big one, or even think. Peter and John walked by that man, who knows how many days, never thought that he would be supernaturally healed. See, that's God. He's able. Say it with me. God is able. Come on. God is able. In your circumstances? Absolutely. But God has to do it. That should increase our faith and eliminate our fears. You don't control God. I don't control God. I don't want to endure life. I was given life by Jesus. Look what he says. I have come that they might have life and have it to the what? To the full. To the full. I like New Living Translation. Look what it says. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's the life of a Christian. See, when you and I get up in the morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what, we're enjoying God. Now look at verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting begging in the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, no kidding, you guys ain't going nowhere, all the people were astonished. And notice what they came. They came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Now, in January, when we finish this chapter, you will discover that thousands of people, Jewish people, got saved as they saw this miracle. Now, what was their response that we just read? The miracle, the instant miracle, was true. They saw it instantly. It wasn't a fake. It was proven true with no doubts. They were amazed, and they had questions through their mind like crazy. How can this happen? But the genuine power of God attracted the people looking for something that was real. They were looking for answers in their life. This lame man had no expectation that his life could change. But I want you to pay very close attention to this. God changes life physically, but he also changes life spiritually. He probably knew about Jesus, but now he really knew about Jesus. You see, a Jewish person didn't believe in Jesus, not this Jesus. So I want you to think about this right now. The greatest miracle of God's power is a changed spiritual life. Why? Because people are searching. They're looking for answers. They don't have an abundant life. They can't figure life out. There's no purpose and meaning for them. There's a program that I watch. I think I got my notes here somewhere. And it's a program. I can do it from the top of my head. There's a program from Costa Mesa, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And the pastor is Brian and Brad Brodison. And they do a program called the pastor's program every day, and they answer questions from all over the world, all kinds of questions for them. And when they get there, I listen to the podcast, you know, it's on for an hour and a half. People call from all over the United States, different parts of the world, and they ask all revelation, you know, all kinds of, I'm getting ready to marry somebody. If she's not a Christian, should I get married? So they answer that. So I was listening, Linda and I were listening to him. We were up at the Sebastian campus on Wednesday night, and we were driving home, and we listened to it. It was on that day. A Pastor's Perspective, it's called. You can get it online or Facebook in a million ways. And some guy answered. I forget where he was from. I think Maine. And he says, good afternoon. I want to know how to be a Christian. And they went, and Brian goes, wow, that's one of our best questions we've ever had. We love it. And so he said to him, well, why? He says, because I'm sinful. And I know I'm not right with God. And I need help. I don't know if I can get help or not. So they led him to Christ right on the radio. And he's praying those prayers and whatever. And then he says to him, remember this day. I think it was the 13th. Remember this day. You prayed that prayer. I've never seen you before. You haven't seen me. But you, Jesus, just changed your life forever. Remember that. And as we were driving home, my wife said to me, it wasn't just about that man. Think how many people listened to that program. You mean that's how to get saved? And he led them to get saved. Amen. That's called an open door. Forget the other questions right now. Let's see this guy get saved. So here's what you need to understand. The true story in Acts chapter 3 is a perfect illustration that man's greatest need is spiritual change. You see, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart at our campuses here in Melbourne, Sebastian, online, Vera, if you're not a follower of Christ yet, I want to say this in a way, and it won't offend you. Your sin separates you from God, and your sin is crippling your life. You don't have peace. You don't have purpose. You don't have meaning. But the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the only way for you not to be crippled spiritually is to ask God to forgive you of your sins. This man knew that God had changed him. This man later would become, obviously, a full believer when he understood all the principles. To do that, you have to ask God to forgive you, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and you get a brand new start. A brand new start on earth and a promise of heaven forever. Now, some of you used to walk with God. Some of the people that came up this weekend, last night in our campuses, they used to walk with God. and they got off the path, and they're no longer walking with God. I can say this, their sin is crippling their lifestyle because it isn't an abundant life at all. But if you've never been a Christian, you've never really been able to experience it. Now, I know some of the questions would be, because this man kind of talked about it a little bit, you might say, well, I'd like to become a Christian, Pastor Mark, but my sins are way too great. Let me just tell you this. No man's, woman's life with sin, I don't care what it is too great for God. He forgives us all. You say, Pastor Mark, I would never expect that. Well, you need to. It's biblical. All our sins are forgiven. Right from that spot. Now, I'm going to do something in a moment. I want to show you a verse. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. When you accept Jesus Christ, you can run even in the commands of God free. Man, I'm following Jesus. Will it be just smooth? No. In this life, we have trouble. But who are you running with? The Almighty God. The Almighty God. So we're going to do one thing at all of our campuses right now. In a moment, I want all of you at our campuses just to bow your head. Let's begin right now. And I want you to pray for people that are in our campuses right now. By the way, if you're watching online, you can just call the number that's on your screen, and you'll be able to talk to somebody at our campuses live to you. If you're here this morning with all these heads bowed at all of our campuses, I want to just say this to you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a decision to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to begin to follow him, and to have a purpose and a meaning, leave the questions gone, leave all your sins behind, have a promise of going to heaven. For some of you that walked away, you haven't walked away too far. He loves to give new starts. There isn't a person in the buildings I'm talking to right now that hasn't had many new starts from God. He's been faithful to us. But to do that, I'm going to pray a prayer for you in your seat. But to do that, you have to acknowledge you need God. And the way I want you to do that this morning is simply to raise your hand. And when you're raising your hand, you're not really raising it to me. Remember, Peter said, look at me. And he took him by the hand. I want you, when you raise your hand, realize, and you're raising your hand and you're just saying to God, who is in heaven, I'm ready to pray a prayer that would change my entire life. I'm not going to give a long period of time, but if you're here this morning, and then I'm going to pray that prayer with you right in your seat. You're going to say it under your breath. Nobody around you knows. It's between you and God. But I know God's spoken to your heart. I've been praying for that for the last 3 days, that people here, when they hear God's word, will know, I can be just like that man. I can be changed. I never walked in here expecting that. But now I know that God loves me, and he sent his son to die on the cross. I'm ready. So if you'll raise your hand right now, and then I'll just pray that prayer at all the campuses. Can I just ask you to raise it so I can see it this morning? Just raise your hand and say, I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Others, this morning, God spoke to you. Thank you. Other people right here, don't ever be ashamed. You never want to be ashamed. Thank you. Of having your life changed. Never. In the balcony, can I see your hands? Be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Vieira, raise your hand and say, I'm ready. I'm ready for God to change my life. Sebastian, same exact thing. Anybody else? And then I'm going to pray with you. Anybody else want to say, I want to join these people? Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? Just pray this with me right now. Dear God, you did speak to my heart today. I know I need a walk with you. I need to do life with you. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And today, I'm sorry for my sins. According to your promise, you will forgive me. I trust that promise. Forgive me all of my sins. And today, I begin a new life. I'm spiritually healed. And I want to follow you and become more like you. Thank you for changing my whole life today because of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. With the head still bowed, I want all the people that prayed that prayer with me, you had your hand raised, I want you to just do one thing. Look at me from the campuses. Sebastian, Vera, here, balcony, wherever. Just look at me. At the end of the service, I want you to do one thing. We're going to sing a song, then we'll be dismissed. I want you to walk up to your pastor at your own campus, Pastor TJ theirs, and as you see that in here, I'll be right over here to the left, and Joey will be at Sebastian, and you just walk up, and I'll be over here, and just say, Pastor Mark, I became a new person this morning because of God. That's all we want. That's all we're going to do. We have a Bible we'll give you if you'd like one. It's a New Testament, and it has 50 pages how to walk with God. So don't walk out the door. You can come back and remember this day. Just walk up and say that. You're not joining a church. We don't have a membership. We don't have anything. But by you walking up, you can go back to this day and go, that's the day that changed my life by following Jesus Christ. I challenge you to do that. I'll be there. All the campus pastors will be down there for you right now. Father, thank you for touching all of our hearts today. Thank you for new people who have joined your kingdom that we're going to spend eternity with. And I just thank you for the power of your word. We watched you do the unexpected this morning. I imagine most of these people at all of our campuses that are changed this morning never got up and thought that would happen. But you knew it because you loved them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God used His Word today to continue to change and shape you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Send us an email at mail@calvaryccm.com or call us toll-free at 866-779-3441. And don't forget to listen to the next podcast in this series. Until next time, may God bless you, and together, let's do life right.